Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the verses or chapters before our text, we see that Jesus had recently just gathered his disciples to himself, the different disciples, Matthew, Mark, Peter, and so on, had started following him. And Matthew chapter 4 tells us, he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So Jesus' fame spread throughout all Syria, and great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. Then we go into chapter 5 of Matthew, we see that when they had come to a mountain, Jesus looked behind at this huge crowd of people following him. He went up the mountain and started to speak. We call this his Sermon on the Mount. He teaches them a lot of important things during the sermon. It goes through three chapters of Matthew. And in order to impress upon all of the listeners how important his teachings were, he finished up his sermon with the words of our text. Matthew 7, verse 24 and following. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Fellow redeemed, every builder knows that you should not build a house on a sandy hillside, right? If it rains hard, all that sand and the house on it will get washed right down the hill. Builders know that they need to build the foundations of homes on solid ground. So, if the ground isn't solid where they're building, they'll put footers or posts down deep into the ground to where the ground is solid. And then they'll build a house on top of that. Occasionally we hear stories, usually from California, where a builder didn't put the foundation of the house deep enough and built the house on the side of a mountain or a hill, and the rains come, and the floods come, and the mud comes, and slides down the hill, and the house goes with it. Even children know what happens when you build houses on sand. Hey kids, what happens when you build a sandcastle at the beach and the water comes up? It washes away the sandcastle, right? You need to have it on something solid that does not get washed away. Even in fairy tales, we see this important teaching. Think of the fairy tale of the three little pigs. You kids remember this story? The mean wolf is coming, and the three little pigs, the first one builds his house out of straw. And the mean wolf comes and huffs and puffs and blows the house down. It wasn't built very good. The next little pig, he built his house of wood. He thought, this would be better. But was it? The mean wolf came and he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and puffed and blew the house down. Third little pig, he built his house out of something strong, brick. And that mean wolf came and he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed. He couldn't blow the house down. Jesus is saying that this, in our text, that this is the same thing with people who put their trust in the Word of God. If you believe what Jesus says in the Bible, you're like that little pig who built his house of brick. You're like the builder who built his house on the rock. When the storms of life come, and they will, when the troubles of life come and they beat against you, when you get sad, the devil can't take away your faith. you will always remember that God loves you, that He will take care of you. He will protect you. When we read the history of the 11th and 12th centuries, we hear about philosophers arguing about what's truth. What is truth? They would argue about such things as, is the earth flat or is it round? A lot of the educated people felt that the earth was flat. And if you rowed your boat too far to the edge of the earth and come to the edge of the earth, your boat will fall off the end. So you don't want to go too close to the end of the water. The fishermen, they knew this was foolishness. They'd fished, they'd gone out, and they realized the earth was round. They realized what the horizon was. But they were always arguing about this. What is truth? There was nothing that anyone would say was solid truth. Same thing at the time of Jesus. The scribes, the Pharisees, Sadducees, the other self-proclaimed religious leaders, they'd meet in the temple to discuss and usually to argue their ideas of truth. One would say, this is what God means. The other one would say, this is what God means. The Apostle Luke tells about a time when Jesus was only 12 years old. His parents found him in the temple discussing such matters with the religious leaders. Luke tells us, and this is important, Luke tells us that the leaders were astonished at his understanding and authority. He was speaking as of one who knew what the truth was. He's not saying it might be this, it might be that. He's saying, this is truth, as a 12-year-old. In the last paragraph of our text, we see the same thing. After Jesus finished telling the parable of the builder who built his rock in the sand or on the rock, he finished up by saying, we hear this, and when Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. During the 30 years that he was on earth, both by works and by words, Jesus convinced people that what he was saying was truth. There was no, it might be this, it might be that. It was no arguing. He was saying, this is what God says. People were convinced that Jesus was speaking from authority, and they were following him all over. Remember the one time so many 5,000 people were following him, and he had to come up with food for 5,000 people with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. People loved listening to this person who spoke from authority. Unfortunately, well, he was also doing a lot of healing and stuff with people too. And unfortunately, people wanted Jesus to use his power for temporal purposes, to make things much better here on earth. And for this reason, they turned away from Jesus when they realized that he had not come to make things better on earth. He had come to take away their sins so that they would be taken to heaven. When people realized that Christ was not planning to take to himself the kingship of the world, we read in John 6, after this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12, to his picked 12 disciples, do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. He knew that God's word was truth, that Jesus' word was truth. Strong words of faith from Peter. Excellent. But Jesus knew Peter even better than Peter knew himself, and he knew that Peter, when the time came for Jesus to go to trial, to be crucified, that Peter would have a lot of difficulty with that. So Jesus allowed Peter, as we read in the epistle lesson earlier, Jesus allowed Peter and two of his disciples to go up with him one day to the mountain to pray. While there, two of the Old Testament prophets, Moses and Elijah, suddenly appeared. They've been long dead, but they're there talking to Jesus, discussing in the hearing of the other disciples Jesus' upcoming death and his resurrection, what this all meant for the salvation of the world. Seeing Moses and Elijah there with Jesus convinced these disciples even more that Jesus was indeed the Son of God, especially when a voice called out from heaven, who they knew was God, saying, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Peter had seen with his own eyes the glory of Jesus. He knew without a doubt that the word spoken by Jesus was truth. Therefore he wrote in what we actually read, the Apostle Epistle lesson, "For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased,' we ourselves," Peter is saying, "we ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with them on the holy mountain." Then he goes on, "But we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." Peter is speaking this to people who are being lambasted on all sides by people who thought they had the truth. They're saying, "Nah, what you heard from Peter isn't correct. This is the truth. No, this is the truth. This is the truth." Peter wants to remind them that what I spoke to you is God's word. And he says, "I was there. I saw God in his glory. But I put even more confidence in God's word as being the truth. If you see it written in the Bible, you can be sure it's true." This was important because the believers were being hit on all sides by people with different opinions of what truth was. The Bible, God's word, is truth. Well, we have this yet today, don't we? We know that God's word is truth. We know that God's word is the source of all authority in our lives, promising us our eternity. God's word is the ultimate authority, but yet we're surrounded by people all around us who don't want to recognize him as the ultimate authority. Murder, lying, stealing, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, all of these things are acceptable to many people today because they do not want to recognize anyone or anything as the ultimate authority over their lives. They want to decide what's good for them. When people start deciding for themselves what's good or what's not good, then we see a lot of stuff which is happening now. Murder of thousands of unborn children are now happening every year simply because they're inconvenient. I want to go on my life and have fun. I don't want to have a baby to take care of, so I'll abort it. Getting one's way is so important. Getting into political office, put it this way, is so important that it's okay, it's acceptable to lie and deceive, to say things that you know aren't true. And this happens on both sides of the aisle. Because the ultimate goal is to get into office and you know that you'll do a better job than anyone else. So it's okay to lie and deceive. The poorer classes of our nation are told it's okay not to work. People who are working are going to take care of you. And this has created a mentality among many people that it's okay to steal from rich people. It's okay to loot. If there's a disaster or something happens like Katrina or some floods, some other things, it's okay for many people to loot because those are rich people. We can take from them. We can justify. Fornication. Oh, it feels so good to be with this person I love. So what if God says that I should not have sex outside of marriage? It feels so good. It's something I want to do. I'm going to go ahead and do it. I can decide what's right, what's not right. Same thing with adultery. My wife doesn't understand me. So it's okay to go out and have an adulterous relationship. It makes it okay. No. I don't decide what's right or wrong. The Lord God decides. Homosexuality. Even though the Bible clearly states the seriousness of this sin, it's accepted in our world today. Damage of property. I was reading an article about what happened in Wisconsin because many people did not agree with what the governor of that state was doing. They went in, they destroyed the courthouse property, they destroyed all kinds of other property. We hear what's happening with a lot of the Occupy movements too. Some of them may be good, but there's others out there, and they have no problem destroying property because they feel like it. Because they have an ultimate goal of doing something they feel is better, so it's okay to destroy other people's property. You see what's happening. When people start thinking, I can decide what's right or wrong, I can decide what I can do, what I can't do, some people have some weird ideas what's okay. And when they carry it out, it is hurtful to other people. But just like in Peter's time, we know the truth. We know there is an ultimate authority over our lives. We know our solid foundation is in Christ and His eternal word. However, we are being assaulted on every side by powerful entities who want to convince us otherwise. Don't follow God's word. That's ancient history. That has no bearing on our life today. God didn't really know, like God doesn't know what's going to happen in the future, but I say God didn't really know what was going to happen 6,000 years ago when he created the world, what's going to be happening today. So the Bible is no longer useful for our life. So many people want to get that thought into your mind. Don't let them. God knew from the beginning what we need, what would be right, what would be wrong. The words for our text are just as valid for us today as they were at Peter's time, or at Jesus' time. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. We need to hold on to this source of authority for our sanity on earth. We go through so many difficult times, each one of us. We need to know that God's word is true. That when God promises that all things work together for his people, he means it. We dare not let any question of the authority of God's word enter into our minds, into our hearts. We need to know that completely, absolutely, for our sanity on earth. But most importantly, we need to know it because it is that which promises us that we will have a life after this earth. That despite the difficulties, the trials that we have on earth, God has got something much better waiting for us in heaven. We also need to hold tight to this truth, to this foundation of God's word, for the sake of those weak and troubled Christians who may be around us. Like I mentioned, we go through difficult times ourselves, each one of us. But even in the middle of our most difficult times, our deepest times, we still know that God's there. We still know that God's going to take us through this, help us through it. Can you imagine the depression that people have when they're going through tough times, difficult times, and they don't know that God's going to be there for them? When they think that this pain is all I've got to look forward to? You need to hold on to the truth. You need to know that God's word is the authority, so you can go to these people and you can tell them when they're discouraged, depressed, ready to give up, that God tells you that he will be with you. He will guide you. He will protect you. He's taken away your sins, and because your sins are no longer standing between you and him, he's there for you. God's word can be trusted. We must be convinced of that so we can convince other people. You can trust it when God says that he's going to take care of you on earth and take you to himself in heaven. A few verses before in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus tells the listeners, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored?" You are the salt of the earth, he's saying here. You have an important purpose. Salt, well, for our purposes, flavors food. In the old days, salt was used to preserve food. If they put a lot of salt in it, so it did not go bad. If the salt wasn't good, the food would go bad. Our purpose is to preserve the world as far as letting them know about Christ. I think of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham was approached by God shortly before Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, and God wanted to let Abraham know that what he was going to do. "I'm going to destroy these two cities because they are so sinful. They have completely rebelled against me and my word." Abraham pleads with him, because his brother Lot, or his nephew Lot, was living in Sodom and Gomorrah. He pleads with God, "You know, if there's just 50 righteous people there, please, will you preserve the city for the 50 people who have put their trust in you?" And God said, "Yeah, I will. I will. Because of your prayer, because of your request, I will." Moses started counting. And he said, "Well, Lord, what if there's only 40 people? Will you still preserve these cities for 40 people?" God said, "You will. I will." Moses was trying to add up the number of believers in the town and said, "Lord, I hate to ask you again, but what if there's 30? What if there's 20? And then he finally finished up, "Lord, what if there's only 10 people? Will you preserve the city for the sake of the 10 people?" God said, "Yes, I will for your sake. Because you're asking me, I'll preserve it." Of course, there weren't even 10 righteous people. That is what we should each be doing. We should be praying for our nation, that there are at least 10 righteous people in our nation who know of God as their Savior. Please, Lord, keep faith strong in our nation, among the people that we know, the people we may not know. Let many more people know about Jesus as their Savior. And we need to do our part of that by making sure that when we speak about God, we speak as one with authority, that God's word is true. Because only by people putting their trust in God's word as authority will they be helped on earth, but more importantly, receive eternal life in heaven. Go in peace. Speak God's word to everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.